Good morning, let's get started. My name is Andreas Ferber. I'm a project manager for the ARM architecture at SUSE Labs. And right now I'm going to give you an update on the cross-compiler toolchains for OpenSUSE. So first of all, what is this about? This is not about systems that are actually running OpenSUSE, at least not in general, but rather about small microcontroller systems that don't have a whole lot of RAM and code storage. But at some point, you want to develop software to deploy on such microcontrollers. You want to get the code that you have developed onto such microcontroller boards. And once you have them, maybe there are problems and you need to debug them. So I'm going to run through all of those stages, more or less. 2 years ago, at OpenSUSE conference in Nuremberg, I had presented the first real cross-compiler work. So we had some ice cream cross-compilers before that could be used for developing like kernels for systems running OpenSUSE so that you could take an x86 system and develop kernels for S390 originally, or also for Power and later ARM. And now it was also possible to develop with a standard C library code for non-OpenSUSE targets. The first one was the Epiphany target. This was used for the Parallela board and a crowdfunded ARM board, which has an FPGA, and via the FPGA it connects to this coprocessor chip. And then the other one, the second one, was for RX, Renesas Extreme, because there was the Sakura board and also some other boards that it was possible to actually deploy the code to. So just for completeness, what existed as well, as I mentioned, there's also cross-compilers for OpenSUSE, in particular for OpenSUSE kernels, not really for OpenSUSE applications. There's the client compiler toolchain as part of the LLVM package, which provides several targets depending on how it's being configured for us. But at least for x86-64, we built pretty much almost everything we can. There's also a tool called SCC, which is its own compiler toolchain and is being used for microcontrollers that have less than 32 bits. So, for example, STM8, which is, you know, 8-bit microcontroller, and the AD51 architecture as well, among others. So, moving on to what is actually new this year. So Richie has been working on avoiding the need to specify the cross-compilers by the exact version name. So the way that they are built, they are built as part of the GCC7, GCC8, and so on packages, and that means that the binary that gets generated will in the end be something -gcc-8, for example. But normally, makefiles, when you build open source packages, will assume that you simply have a CC or GCC compiler with a cross-compiler prefix. So this would require either patching makefiles or at least overriding like a handful of different variables in order to be able to use such a toolchain. Using the alternatives mechanism, we now get symlinks from GCC to GCC7 or GCC8, whatever is has been installed, the latest or configured by the user, which in turn allows us to just use this. Do we have any laser pointer here? No. So we can just use this. No matter, you can see it anyway. So this cross-compile variable should, in most cases, now be the only one that you use, and foo dash would be the prefix that is being generated for the specific toolchain. So that would be rx-elf- would be the cross-compile prefix, and then GCC, LD, and so on, all the tools. A second development was that after a phase of announcement, we moved the newlib package from base system, where it was alongside glibc and uselibc into the DVL GCC package, which had the advantage that we can better stage changes because then we have GCC and ulib in the same place, in particular when we add new toolchains. Otherwise, we always have a, we still have a cyclic dependency between the packages, but at least there we can test it before it all goes to factory. And well, the remaining problem with that is that we always need to take care to submit both the GCC package and the newlib package or whatever C library is being used for the respective factory. There's also avrlibc, for example, possibly further ones. They always need to be submitted together, and this hasn't always worked out that sometimes we had unresolvable GCC cross packages in factory. What is new from my side this year is that for several months now, we have a new ARM cross-compiler toolchain, which is able to develop code for use in either firmware or microcontrollers. So that would be the Cortex-M class of processors, as well as the Cortex-A class, where we don't need anything specific. This was originally driven by the Spectre and Meltdown security vulnerabilities that I will be going into in the next presentation slot. We needed to update a software package from version 1.4 to 1.5, and suddenly it grew a dependency on not just compiling code for either 64-bit ARM code or 32-bit ARM code, but it needed both in the same package. So as a solution, we would be building it on AR64 using the native GCC there, but also using this new cross-compiler in order to build parts of that code that would be reused in that. The exact list of where you can use this compiler toolchain is probably much longer than what I've listed there. I'm not going to read all of this. What's noted in brackets there is the various ways that you can actually get the code onto the board. So ST Microelectronics has their own ST-Link mechanism, which is a USB adapter that several tools exist for getting the code onto the board. Then there's the CMSys DAP standard that was developed by ARM, which is also USB-based with two different tools available to get that on there. And then there's the J-Link, as well as in some cases you have systems with heterogeneous cores where you have both Cortex-A and Cortex-M cores. And then you can just boot into the Linux system and use certain commands to move put code in place to be executed by the microcontroller cores or real-time cores part of that system. What is relatively new still is that we not only have a port of OpenSUSE running on the RISC-V architecture, but rather that we also have a cross-compiler in order to develop code for the initial set of RISC-V microcontroller boards. So in particular here, the HiFive-1 was quite known in the press. I have to admit that I have not yet tested this on the board, actually, because we don't yet have our packages set up in order to actually get the code onto the board. Has anyone in the audience maybe experimented with that already? No one? Okay. Oh, no, this is what you are thinking of is the Unleashed board, which is like 999 board. That's the one that can actually run Linux. Now, this is a small one that's just Arduino form factor and can run only microcontroller code, no Linux. Yeah. And not taking credit for this myself, there were several people that have also been working on integrating AVR toolchains that were previously in a separate cross-toolchain project into this new set of GCC packages. Richard Biener has been integrating that, one of the toolchain maintainers. And well, there's lots and lots of boards, in particular the original Arduino boards and several clones of that that can be used with. And there's also tools like AVRDude is one that can be used to just get that via a serial connection onto the boards. Moving on to some stuff that is not yet in factory. We've been in contact with a company called Andes in order to make packages available for their proprietary microcontroller architecture. So they're also working on RISC-V, and this is the previous generation of boards that they've come up with. And another one is FT32, which is formerly from FTDI, the company that makes the USB UART adapter chips. By now, it's called BridgeTech. And there are also some low-cost boards available that the code can actually be used with. However, yet again, we don't yet have packaged the tools to actually get the code onto those boards. Open topics. So whenever we build cross-compiled code, so that means like the NULIP packages that would actually execute not on your local system, but on the microcontroller board or as part of some other core on your Linux board. Whenever the OBS and RPM scripts run in order to extract the debug info symbols into a separate package, then that has led to binaries for foreign architectures breaking. I'm not entirely sure why that is, but we've needed to always explicitly disable the stripping and extraction of those debug symbols from the packages. Would be interesting to find out why that is and whether we maybe can fix that in a central place instead of in every package. So if you want to build some general purpose library or some firmware, then you would need to add at least two lines to your SPAKE file to suppress this functionality. The second one is that in theory, we could sit down and build, I don't know, maybe 20 or something cross-compiler tool chains. But for one, that would take quite long to build whenever the GCC team checks in a new revision of the compiler or maybe some patch in OBS. And for another, originally we had packaged the cross-compiles for a number of probably months, but we figured out that the installation that certain binaries were getting installed to was not the one where at runtime that were being expected. So we had built successfully compilers, but they were not fully working at runtime in order to find like certain CRT.o files. And basically what we're at the moment still lacking is some package, and we're still discussing how exactly to do that. Maybe one of you has suggestions for how to do that, for just compiling like a small Hello World example to make sure that the compiler toolchain is in itself consistent. So it would not be so much about does it compile code that is actually working on a specific CPU. There's other test suites for that, but rather just for validating that if we build a GCC7 and a GCC8 toolchain for a particular architecture, that each one of those actually works as expected. And finally, one topic that I mentioned yesterday in the Package Hub talk is that it would also be cool if we could make some of those cross compilers available not just for OpenSUSE in the OBS, but also for the commercial SUSE Linux Enterprise family of products. And there are certain rules at the moment that stand in the way of this, in that obviously SUSE is already shipping GCC compilers for compilation of SLE code. And as such, we cannot just submit the GCC7, GCC8 packages that those cross-compilers are now part of into Package Hub, because that would conflict with the packages that SUSE is providing. So at this point, we have cross-compiler toolchains. We're able to turn source code that we've written ourselves into code to be run on such microcontrollers. Now, how do we actually get that onto the boards? My preferred solution for that is a package called OpenOCD, short for on-chip debugger. Unfortunately, the development of the package has not stalled, but the releases are currently quite for, I guess, more than a year, there's been no release, but there is active development going on with the Garrett review system and changes going into the project are getting reviewed quite rigorously usually. So my proposal would be that instead of sticking with the 0.10 release that is currently out there for Tumbleweed, it should be okay if we would actually switch to Git snapshots, simply because then we could have like support for more chipsets every few weeks or months whenever something new comes out. The problem with that is that there are dependencies that OpenOCD has, one library for interfacing with those J-Link USB adapters. It also uses TCL runtime, so there may be points in time where the snapshot of OpenOCD may also require a snapshot of, say, libJ-Link. So that would be a trade-off to make. There's another tool packaged most recently called PyOCD. It was originally just a Python library for interfacing with embed boards that are based on this CMSys DAP standard. More recently, it has also grown some tools that can be run with a command line with a lot of arguments for just starting a GDB server. And then via GDB, you can get your code onto the board. And finally, the latest addition from my side was the ESP tool package. So this is for Espressif ESP32, ESP8266, and so on boards, based on the Extensa architecture. Unfortunately, the tool chain for building the code is not yet fully upstream, so that we cannot really put that into factory yet. But I'm in touch with them about hopefully getting that done in the future. So yeah, some closing remarks. There was the question already about RISC V, so slightly related to that. If you have a board that does not have an MMU but has sufficient RAM, at least on ARM and a few other architectures, it is possible to run not just microcontroller firmware code, but also an embedded Linux, not provided by OpenSUSE, but using our tools, it can easily be built from the Linux sources. There are various ways to go about that. So the most frequent case is to use the uclibcng. And there, what I have been working with so far is the flat tool chain, which means that you build ELF binaries and then you convert them to a special flat format. ST has also proposed a new ABI called FDPIC. This has been existing for like Blackfin, for example, for quite some time already. The proposal now is to do such a tool chain for ARM as well. It has been, there's a proof of concept out there, but it is not yet merged in the upstream GCC project. This would allow to reuse libraries between executables even without having their own virtual address spaces. And some of the examples that I've tested this on has been the STM32F4, FM4, originally from Fujitsu, and the XMC4500. Then another remark, going slightly beyond microcontrollers, FPGA field programmable gate arrays is a way that you can not just develop software, but hardware based on software descriptions. So you can configure, OR AND gates, and you have local memory in there that you can also have local storage on. And using this, one thing you can do is you can implement softcore processors. So you can actually have an FPGA chip and emulate, in theory, well, an ARM system or RISC-V is at the moment quite popular because for a long time there were no physical boards that you could run the code on, which then opens a whole lot of range of use cases that people might have, like Xilinx has those microblaze soft cores, NIOS is another one from another vendor, OpenRISC has seen a few uses, and who knows what other cores there are or maybe in the future. So that will be something to keep an eye on whether there is any demand for that. And the cool thing is that out of all those families, well, usually if you go to Xilinx, Lattice, Microsemi, then you know they all have their proprietary tool chains in order to generate that code from a standard VHDL or Verilog description. But for ICE40, a few years back, someone has actually started reverse engineering the format needed for that, and there are now open source tools in order to develop for this family of admittedly slightly smaller FPGAs, but still it is a very interesting start. With that, I am done. Are there any further questions in the audience? Andrew, shall we get you a microphone? Not working. Muss man lange drücken, oder? Okay.
The package is all in factory for all architectures, so that if you wanted to cross-compile on ARM, mm-hmm. you could, or on x86 or Power or whatever. So it's all available in factory now.
Yes, so there are no restrictions as to the code working, and in factory ARM you will find obviously the corresponding packages for ARM hosts. What is, I think, not enabled is the development project. DevelGCC does not have all architectures enabled, so they're not building the full architecture. In some cases where I've said, you know, for example, the prime use case of cross-developing Epiphany is on ARMv7, so that's like one tool chain that we have specifically enabled there to build, but I don't think that all of them are available there. But if you take a look at the ones in factory, then yes, there is no restriction on building them that I should be aware of. So yes, we have been using, as I mentioned, the cross-ARM NUN toolchain on AR64, so even on ARM you can cross-compile four other ARM systems. That would be the other thing to look out for, because we would not build AR64 cross-compilers on AR64. That's the restriction that we have. So if the name is different of the architectures that we're building them for, then that should work. Any last question?
I didn't hear you mention the GCC-AVR and the typical workflow where you use AVR Dude to program to Atmel 8-bit microcontrollers. Is this something that you work on and test and have packages for as well?
I personally don't. I just know that the that the package exists. I'm not sure. It could be either in hardware electronics or in cross-tool chain AVR. But personally, out of all the odd architectures I work with, I don't happen to actually have an AVR baseboard, so I've not hit that myself yet.
I've had Arduino builds working doing that, but I can't remember if I took Arduino Studio from within OBS or if I just took Arduino Studio from upstream, but it is possible to do without too much effort.
Okay, I guess we'll have to finish here. Thank you very much for your time. And if you want to hear more about what we've done with the ARM cross-compiler toolchain, stay tuned for the next talk. Thank you very much.